Destination Culture here. David Farini with Emma Gates and Dan Cancian in the house at the Stadio San Nicola. It is 1-0 for Bari against Catanzaro. Serie B football, guys. How good is it to finally be in Puglia, tasting some of the delights and seeing it here? We can't show you, but how good is it, the atmosphere here, Emmett Gates?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Obviously, your former home.
My former home, lived here 7 years ago, so it's good to be back. Good to be back in the San Nicola, watching a cracking game of football. And I know you two lads are enjoying your first time in the region.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, you arrived today. We arrived last night. We've already been out for the orecchiette. You've had a couple of servings. We've also tasted some of the delights in Molfetta, which is I don't want to say a small village. It's a decent-sized town, just a bit north of Bari. Picked you up from the airport, went straight there, met Tommy. What a champion he is. But how good was the food?
The food was amazing. And to be honest, it's been the lot of the day. I've been up for 16 hours, and it's kept me going. Tommy, as you said, what a character. And what an atmosphere that we've got here. Tremendous. Like, the Italian 90 vibes are still strong in the air.
Yeah, the David Platt.
David Platt, yeah.
Rare David, the bulldog.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And, I mean, it's an amazing venue. It's a bit of a white elephant, I would say, but it's an amazing venue. Once you're inside, it's I'm actually surprised how it looks in a much better nick than I would have thought. It looks in great shape.
I think they did some repairs in the middle of the 2010s, but I think before that it hadn't been touched since Italia 90.
And I think the fact that Bari, obviously being red and white, it has a pleasing effect on the eye. It doesn't have the great dullness associated with the likes of the Delle Alpi and the Bente Gaudi. It's got a bit of character to it. Like Bari itself, as you two have told me about.
It's one of those cities that not many people think about going to. In all honesty, it's taken me until this part of my life to even come to Puglia. Bari, we've got Serie B tonight, we've got Sunday where we're going to Lecce, the other end of Puglia. I mean, if it's better than Bari, it's a big thing, because Puglia, it's not the first place people think of. People always think of Tuscany or going to Rome or Venice or whatever, but I mean, this is a cultural weekender that will live long in the memory for me, because coming here, it's a massive stadium. Of course, it's not packed. It's probably about half. I think the official attendance was about 19,000. Food, atmosphere, it just reeks of southern Italy. It has that particular flavour, doesn't it, Emmett, where maybe the traffic's a little bit more chaotic. The Wi-Fi doesn't work. As Bari look for 2-0 and misses. Big miss, that one, Dan. I'm not sure who's missed that. Is it? It's not Kevin. No, Kevin's got the hand on the hips. It's having the media stand here for those of you who want to know, just in front of the Catanzaro fans as well. Anyway, going back to Bari, we won't talk about the miss too much, but we're going to go out tonight. We're going to show you a little bit more of the central Bari. Molfetta, very, very nice town. We had the seafood. You had the ragu today. Well, we had the seafood. Octopus, where the cod, unbelievable, and the servings you get, unbelievable, for the money.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm glad that Bari has such a massive stadium, because walking the stairs up and down in search of the Wi-Fi password has actually helped me sort of, you know, walk off the food that we had at lunch, which, as you said, the portions were unbelievable.
Yeah, second half, because we had no Wi-Fi for the first half. We got here a couple of hours early as well. No one knew much, but apart from the odd bit of disorganization, we thank the club for giving us the media accreditation. It's great to be here, especially with three of us here. It's not often you get that many, so thank you, Bari, for bringing us in, and also to Lecce, that's also done the same thing, but we'll keep the focus on Bari. Emmett, you were back in your hometown. You spent a year in Molfetta.
Yeah.
How was it feeling? You're going to go back there. We're flying back to London on Monday. You're going to stay for a couple of days to catch up with people.
Yeah, it was good to be back, and I haven't been back in Puglia whatsoever for the last 7 years. I lived in Molfetta from late 2016 into 2017, so I haven't been back to Puglia at all for 7 years, and it was great to go back to Molfetta and just to see the buildings and just to walk the streets and the old town, which is where I lived in Molfetta. It was great to be back, and obviously we met your friend Tommy, went for a beautiful lunch, went for a bit of a stroll, and it brought back some strong memories of my time living there, and it's great to be back in Puglia. I think it's a still a hidden gem in Italy, because everybody goes to Rome, Florence, Milan. You know, you've other regions of Italy that people go to, Liguria. But I still think Puglia is a hidden gem, and there's a lot of value to be had in traveling around this part of the country.
Yeah, imagine if the side gets back to Serie A, probably attract a few more people. Dan, you arrived at the airport today. We arrived yesterday. Now, let's be honest about Bari itself, because it is a wonderful place. However, if you are coming for the first time and you're used to your JFK airport facilities or Heathrow, don't be expecting that. It's a little bit rough around the edges.
Yeah.
And it's an acquired taste, southern Italy. So your first impressions of the airport, a little bit prehistoric maybe?
A bit dated, I would say. It's a bit like the Santa Carla, isn't it? It was built for a different era, let's be frank.
Under repair, we'll say. Like some of the streets.
Yeah.
And I've been driving, we've got a car, we're getting around. And
it's glory days, I passed it, but, you know, at least it has some glory days, I would assume.
Well, it's like Bari Vecchia, because Bari Vecchia had the reputation of don't go there. It's been rejuvenated over the past few years. You were surprised to hear about that, because when you were here 7 years ago, before you moved to China to sell all Moffetta's secrets to the Chinese government, you knew that Bari Vecchia was a little bit unsavoury, rough.
A little rough around the edges. And when we were back last night, David, I was shocked at the, I hate to say it, but gentrification of the area.
I mean, it is immaculate now,
isn't
it?
Yeah, yeah.
We went to the San Nicola Church, which is the same name as the stadium here. Don't get that confused. If you're going to go watch Calcio, don't turn up to Bari Vecchia to watch it. But, and vice versa. If you're coming to pay tribute to Santa Claus, isn't he? Apparently he's Santa Claus. I'm not sure about that. Where Dan seems to think that he's not Santa Claus, but there's a loose translation, loose link there. But Bari Vecchia, very, very nice. And it's like Molfetta. When we went today, Tommy told us the inside scoop there that we squeezed out of him was, when he took us through the old town, it definitely was refreshed. He said it's very, very nice now. But there was a time in the 90s, he told us, where there were certain people, don't know how to term them, maybe drug dealers, maybe people that weren't the most privileged, that they took it over and they controlled it. And I guess that goes with the stigma of southern Italy, doesn't it? Where people will look at particular movies or series and think that there is, you know, don't go. And if you do go, watch out, you know, security guards, what have you. But it's definitely not like that now.
No.
Very, very nice. The restaurant's impeccable.
Yeah.
We went to R45. That was the name of the restaurant, which we'll try and show you some footage about now.
Yeah.
And we had some very nice orecchiette, the cacio pepe yesterday. Seafood here is very, very big because they catch it fresh. They bring it in. We spoke to Jeremy. We spoke to Nige earlier. We're going to show you that one as well. The chat we've had with two very nice Englishmen, Jeremy and Nige. Thanks for joining us for that. And how great were they? They've been here for, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
They've been coming to Bari games for that long. And they just love the whole vibe. They live in Caravigno, a little bit south of here. They support Bari. They live and breathe Bari and Puglia. And they will tell you, testament to moving here, making Puglia their home, and just embracing the whole thing, just like you did.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a beautiful part of the world. And I would implore any of the viewers that were maybe thinking of coming to Puglia, definitely to come and explore. It's not just Bari, it's not just Lecce, it's not just Alberobello. You've got so many towns up and down the coast. You've got the Adriatic Sea. You know, it's beautiful. The food's divine. The weather's glorious.
And it's cheap.
Yeah. We're here in mid-October, and it was, 25 degrees today in mid-October?
We'll put our jackets on at 10 at night. That's
it. Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, obviously, I know the area because I've lived here, but I'm keen to learn you guys what your opinions of Bari is. Obviously, Dan hasn't really got time to explore. But David, what's your opinion? You know, you've had a day and a half.
Being the grandkids of immigrants that used to live in Italy and moving abroad, I don't know too many from Puglia, to be honest, Baresi or Leccese. Most of them are Sicilians, Calabresi, from Campania, from Friuli, Piemonte. Those are the regions that left to go abroad, the Abruzzesi as well. So coming here, I didn't really know that much about it. but it does have that flavour of a Calabria or Sicily, especially like when you get here, it's relaxed, it's a little bit disorganised. The food is, everything revolves around La Bocca. It's about the mouth, it is about enjoying life, it's about living today, and that is Southern Italy, you know, in a nutshell. It really is that the vibe of enjoying the music, enjoying the sea air, very different from a Torino where you grew up, Dan, for example.
Yeah, I think the vibe is very different, but going back to what Emma said about Puglia being the hidden gem of Italy, I think that's also true from a culture standpoint, because football is massive over there, and I don't know how many people know that, because obviously you had Italian auntie here in Bari and all the rest of it, but there is Lecce, there's Foggia, those are like proud clubs, big clubs as well. They were staples of Serie A during the 80s and 90s, and I think it's fallen off, obviously with them falling in our times, you don't get many people who know that, I feel. And coming to Puglia is like, it's a learning curve from a culture standpoint as well, because as I said, football is so big over here, and these are clubs that like bring in thousands and thousands of people week in, week out, despite being down to Serie B, Serie C in some case. And so even if you just come down to Puglia for the football, I think you'll have your hands full and you'll make a weekend out of it, as we are planning to do.
Yeah. Oh, well, the Football Italia crowd that are probably in their 30s to 50, in that age group, they'll know Bari, they'll know the Foggers, because Giovanni Stroppa, for example, you had Signori.
Yeah, Zem and the Foggers, Zem and Landia.
Baby Signori.
Yeah, the Zem and Landia days.
Yeah, the likes of Brian Roy, Igor Kalibanov playing.
And Jeremy and Nige were telling us about their favourites, the Englishmen that came here.
Yeah, exactly.
Cowan,
Rideout. Gordon Collins, obviously David Platt had the season.
Yeah, he did, yeah. But even if you think about the fact that in the 90s, Bari had the likes of Zvonimir Boban and Robert Jarni playing for them, those are massive names, you know, both playing when the 90s.
Igor Protti.
Was Capo Cannonieri in 85-96 with Signori, exactly. 24 goals in a Bari side that
they
were relegated. And then Lazio signed him that summer. So,
I mean, look at that atmosphere. You can't buy that anywhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not packed here. Like, you go to the Bundesliga, it'll be packed.
Yeah.
And it is a great atmosphere. But considering some of the hardships that Italian fans go through, especially in the south here, as you were saying, like you were alluding to before, yes, you're going to have your Juves and your Inters and Milans that will always have almost packed every weekend that they play at home. These guys, they know hardship.
They do, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you look at like through the Italian football spectrum, the number of clubs that have like gone under, they've gone bankrupt, that have come back, Bari being one of them, Napoli of course, and then you know, there is a plethora of them. And as you said, the fact that they are in, week out, because okay, you can say, well, the stadium is not filled, but it's a 60,000 capacity ground. They pull in 17,000 every week. That's a very decent average attendance for a second division team.
And you wrote on Bari this week, it was about, what was their biggest crowd was against Latina in Serie C, was it?
Yeah, it was a Serie C playoff in 2014. So it took them 24 years to sell this place out. Even in Italia 90, the games that they hosted wasn't a sellout.
And Italy played here against England, didn't they?
Yeah.
The first spot playoff,
But the first sellout this stadium ever had was Bari Latina in 2014, which shows you the passion of the locals.
To get back to where they once were.
And I think, as Dan said about this region, you think Bari, the San Nicola, the stadium's like 60,000. The Via del Mare, Lecce, is like, what, 35,000? Like, so there's a big appetite for football in this region. And you would just want both teams to be in Serie A. Every week would be, you'd imagine, the stadiums would be two-thirds full or nearly full. And obviously, you know, we can't forget Antonio Cassano made his debut in this stadium with that goal against Inter.
In this
stadium.
Bari going for 2-0 here, Emmett. Hang on.
Lasagna.
No. Lasagna. It's not the tastiest ball into the middle.
I often think of the Antonio Cassano goal, and it's the carbon copy. Well, not exactly a carbon copy, but very similar to Wayne Rooney's goal against Arsenal when he introduced himself to the Premier League. There is all the similarities there, you know, playing for like a mid-table team, taking down one of the giants of the league, as you were at the time.
A teenager.
Teenagers, both arguably two of the last straight sweep bowlers we've ever seen in European football.
Yeah, they were definitely generational players.
They weren't athletes, either of them. They loved their lives off the pitch as much as they loved their lives on it. And as Evan said, there is a huge appetite for football in this part of the world. Because, let's be realistic, you wouldn't have crowds of 17,000 on average in second division if there wasn't a football.
Yeah.
A football crowd, if there wasn't like passionate fan bases going, you know, over and over again, particularly because in Italy, as it is with guys in England, you can just support any of the big clubs. But you see so many young kids around us with their bar the tops, and that bodes well for the future. So.
Yeah. It's mind-blowing, the support. I mean, we can't show the images right now, but we will edit them in.
Yeah.
But just think, this stadium was built for Italia 90 back in the days in that playoff against England. I mean, some big names there. Schillaci and Baggio both scored in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, people were emotional this week when they saw Baggio with Pep Guardiola on social media with Luca Toni.
Yeah.
They're on telly. And you get emotional over Brescia, yeah, let alone the glory days,
yeah,
of that World Cup, which was probably one of the best of all time. Italy, the host nation. England, well, you know, they were a chance to win it.
Well,
of course, they met each other in the third, fourth playoff.
You could say the Italia 90 changed football forever in England, because without Italia 90, we would not have had the Premier League.
Yeah, precisely.
It changed the perception of football in England.
It made football glamorous again.
Yeah, because football in England during the 80s, it was a dying sport until that World Cup in this country changed it.
Absolutely.
Of course, all the disasters of the mid-80s with the fan issues.
The issue of hooliganism was rampant, and as Emmett said, that made football something you did not want to be associated with throughout the 80s and 70s and 80s, but Italia 90 made it glamorous again. Yeah. Obviously, Pavarotti, Nessun Dorma, a great team managed by Sir Bobby Robson as well.
Robson against Vicini in that third and fourth
playoff. Yeah, probably exceeded expectation. Then you had the likes of Gaza and so on. But when you think of the San Nicola, who's the first player you think of?
Oh! That was a nice effort, a goal. The first player I think of, I mean, when I think of Bari, most people think of Cassano, I think of Protti.
Okay.
I would be the same. It would be Protti, Cassano, and David Platt.
I'm going to be controversial here. The first player I think of the San Nicola is Dejan Savicevic, because he won the European Cup here when at Star Belgrade, arguably the worst European Cup final ever played. But he put himself on the map and convinced Milan to shell out big money to sign him a couple of years later. Of course, Red Star Belgrade had come close to...
Oh, what a save, Radunovic. That was nice. That was a solo run there. Catanzaro, we should mention, are here. They've got a decent traveling, yeah.
They do.
500-600 up there?
Yeah.
It's a long way.
A 1,000 up there.
It's 4 hours to get to that part of Calabria. Catanzaro in the very tip towards Sicily.
Yeah.
Crotone, Cosenza, Catanzaro, that Calabrese triangle of Serie B sides.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get there at some point.
Yeah.
But just going back to Italy against England and Savicevic, of course.
So I just want to tell a quick story about this stadium. So a few years ago, I interviewed Tony Dorigo.
Who was part of that side.
Yeah, he played in this game. And he, obviously, former Torino left back, did one season in Italy in Serie B with Torino. But he played in that game. And after the game ended, he went over to the great Franco Baresi. And he asked to swap shirts. So Franco was like, yeah, no problem. They went down the tunnel, into the dressing rooms, and he said there was Franco Baresi waiting for him, you know, outside England's dressing room. And he's like, okay, so they take off the shirts and accept it. And Franco is just standing there. Tony's like, you okay? He's like, no, shorts. So they swap shorts, they swap socks. So he's literally, the two of them have no clothes on by the end. And that was the third place playoff. Franco wanted everything from Tony Dorigo as memorabilia for the occasion, for the third place playoff.
What a story that is. You've also interviewed Baresi as well.
Yeah.
And I think that on that particular game, just as the European Cup final the following year was arguably the worst European Cup final ever played, I think the 1990, the third spot playoff was far better than the final. I think we all agree on that. The final was an abysmal effort.
Well, it was a nice lead up to the final, considering the Diego story. The blowback he got from that semi-final.
I think the final peak during the anthem from Maradona, as we all know, made his feelings very clear towards the Italian fans booing the Argentinian anthem.
It was the beginning of the end, wasn't it?
It was, in many ways, yeah.
And it was here where, was it here he was tested against Bari, and then they did the drugs test, and then he got basically...
His last game was... here in 1991, March 1991. I think it was this game that he was tested positive for cocaine.
So it is a stadium of real history.
Yeah.
Looking through those lineups, Baresi, De Agostini, Berti, Ancelotti, Roberto Baggio, Schillaci, Vjekovod, Maldini, Bergomi, Ferrara, Zenga, Giannini, Vicini, the coach.
Yeah.
And the England lineup there, as you said, Tony DiRigo, Trevor Stephen, Paul Parker, Peter Shilton, who was the hand of God goalkeeper, Chris Waddle, Gary Stevens, David Platt, who made his name here, got signed by Bari, and then Gary Lineker, Peter Beardsley, Des Walker. And Des Walker also spent some time.
Had a season in Sampdoria, which kind of ruined him.
Gascoigne on the substitutes bench.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at that Italy team, that was seen as like not the B team, but it was like, right, let's give people a run out that hadn't played in the tournament.
Sure.
That Italy team would now, they'd all start for Italy now.
And of course, that England team was arguably it was probably the first team to experience the penalty curse that still haunts England to this day.
Yes, and both countries had a real problem with penalties for a while.
Yeah.
And of course, both maybe England's worse off than Italy with penalties, which is why we saw in Euro 2020. Yeah,
because they... England experienced that against West Germany and Italy, like, and they were heartbroken against Argentina.
Yeah. I mean, that was the start of Italy. It was three in a row, 1994, 1998, out on penalties.
Yeah.
And it took maybe until Euro 2000 for Italy to actually win on penalties against the Dutch in the semi-finals.
England, and against all odds.
Yeah, England at Euro 2012, obviously Pirlo's Panenka and everything else.
Well, England had played a little longer because obviously we had the 1990 debacle, then the 1996, 1998, 2004, 2006. I think we should probably stop there and go back talk about Bari for the time being.
Yeah, well, I mean, penalties, no one's favourite. It's one of the worst parts of the game, but it's part of it.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up with just going over. We are here at the San Nicola. It is a Serie B match. Looking back to... trying to get back to Serie A, Bari.
Yeah.
Nearly got there a couple of years ago until Lapadula scored extra time. Nige was telling us, and so was Jeremy, that it was so heartbreaking. They were ready. They were on the edge of their seats. Everyone ready to basically storm the field. And they were nearly there. Cagliari went up with Ranieri instead. They're still up there. Bari's here. Bari just survived the playout last year. Ternana went down. They're playing in Serie C. Bari's still here. Mid-table. We've got the Inside Bari article up on destinationculture.com. Yeah. We've got the Inside Catanzaro for the Catanzaro fans out there, and also the stadium guides. So we've written about the stadium guide. We've got some epic footage that we're going to throw in there that we've got before the game. So make sure you look out for that on the website, on the socials as well. You guys will be writing about Bari, Catanzaro, Lecce this week. Overall, just like a quick sentence on both the sides. We won't talk about the game. We'll just talk about the sides in general. Bari and Lecce.
I think, obviously, Bari, again, trying to get up the table this year after the disappointment of last season. Lecce, I think, as I wrote about this week, the third season, they've got relegated four times in the last 40 years. They've did a third season, has been the season of doom. They've never survived into a fourth season, so this season, Lecce will be looking to survive into a fourth year.
And they're not going too well, Dan?
Well, we watched Bari in September against Sampdoria.
Up in Genoa.
Yeah, and they couldn't put their chances away.
Yeah, and they had the numerical superiority for most of the game. I think it was 15th minute the Sampdoria defended.
Yeah, for about majority of the game. They have something. They're obviously they could move up to 9 tonight if they win. But I think that they've got something going for them. They are solid. And Serie B, like the championship in Britain, is just a world of attrition. You need to grind results out, week in, week out, and they don't concede goals, and that goes a long way to what's up in a chance of promotion.
Yeah, I mean, it's match day 8, 9, 10, that's where we're at. It's the end of the October international break. It's good to be back. Serie B tonight, it's a Friday night in Bari, so we've got a day that we can enjoy Lecce's. It's part of our Calcio Weekender, the Pugliese edition. Make sure you go and watch all the others. We've just put up Udine, the part of a trip that you did with the Ultras. Make sure you check that out. It's been a hit that's been blown up by Dan's trip to Veneto last week and Friuli. We're going to Tuscany soon. We're going to loads of other places. We've already been to so many places.
Yeah.
The Bologna trip was epic. We've seen so many sides. Yeah. We went to Atalanta to see Como.
Yeah.
The pouring rain, then Como's historic first win.
Actually, we should mention that as a side note, this is probably the first trip with normal weather we've had.
Yeah, it's been the best weather for a while. Yeah. And these two complaining about the heat all through August, so I can tell you that. But make sure you stick with us, destinationcultural.com. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you on the other side for the Calcio Weekender.